Welcome to this week's Leader Guide for Your Life Group. This resource is provided to help you prepare and effectively lead your group. For your convenience, you can also download a written version of this guide under Leader Tools at northcoastchurch.com/groups. So let's get started as we introduce this week's material.
Welcome to week three, leaders and hosts. I am so excited that you are with us. We had a great message by Pastor Larry this weekend, and I am excited for your time with your groups this week. My name is Scott. I am a life group pastor here at North Coast Church. I get the privilege of unpacking this leader guide with you, creating this document for you, and really just trying to help you guys have great conversations, meaningful conversations, rich conversations centered around God's Word, and that through those conversations, you guys have deep relationships that form. So let's just get into this quick reminder. Leader notes piece there. We are here for you. Your life group pastor is here for you. If you have any questions, make sure you reach out to them. You should have their number. If you don't, man, send me a message. I will personally give you their phone number so that you can be in contact with your life group pastor if you guys need anything. And then that reminder, we say it all the time, you don't need to answer every question. Please pick the ones that fit your group best. You're the leader. We trust that the Holy Spirit is inside of you, working and leading you to have those conversations. So it's a tool. The discussion questions are a tool. Use them to have those conversations. Remember, we want to hear from everyone each week. That's where the win is. And then if you haven't yet, continue to look at social or service project ideas, impact project ideas. We got a list there for you. And you guys can always find those on our Leader Tools website there. So right where you found this, you'll see that as well. So make sure you're taking that attendance. That helps us be pastoral care for the people in your group as well. Online groups, we got tips and tricks for you on our Leader Tools as well. If you're an online group and you're listening to this, we got ways to help you do things great in your guys' special dynamic there. We mentioned this last week. We'll mention it again. It's been announced in our weekend services as well. Just coming up, the North Coast Men's Conference, October 24th and 25th. There's a QR code for you there if you want to give it to your group. Man, guys, want to encourage you to do that. Do that with your group or encourage them to sign up. And then we got the Women's Gathering on October 14th. Same thing, ladies. We want to encourage you to go with your group. There's a QR code there as well. So with that, let's jump right into our leader discussion guide. Larry's message was a solid one. And man, here we go. Warm-up question. Question number one. In this weekend's message, we saw Jesus use the image of new wine and old wineskins to show that his new life doesn't fit into old ways. Do you usually like to try new things, or do you prefer to stick with what you're familiar with? Give examples. I think we can all kind of say one way or the other, oh man, there's things that I prefer, these old ways of doing things. This is what I grew up. This is what I'm comfortable with. But then trying new things can always be challenging or super fun. So depending on who you are, this is just a great warm-up question. Additional question you could ask here would be, can you think of a time when trying something new really helped grow your faith? And then just a conversation caution here. Some may feel ashamed about being resistant to change and normalize that growth is often uncomfortable at first. And that change isn't always good as well. So sometimes we will say like, oh, just because something is new doesn't mean it's good, but it is new. And then also sometimes we can, if we're early adopters and we're like, oh man, all about change, we can kind of inadvertently shame those people who are resistant. So there's a balance there. This is just a meaningful conversation, a light conversation. Allow it be a light conversation. Just a warm-up question. Second question here is fasting. Fasting can be spiritual or dietary. If you had to give up one favorite food for a month, which would be hardest to let go of? For me personally, oh man, tortilla chips and salsa. Love that stuff. So, so good. So I don't know what it is for you. I'd love to hear. Man, if you listen to this, send me an email back. I'd just love to know what your favorite snack is, what your favorite food is. Maybe it's sushi. I don't know. Man, let's interact. I think this is fun. So additional thought here could be this is a fun entry point for the idea of fasting. Most people will share something humorous with this question. It can build connection while previewing the concept of voluntary sacrifice. So it might be like, hey, man, I'm going to give up Netflix, or I'm going to give up sushi. I'm going to give up cereal. Let it be just a fun question there. Additional scripture could be Matthew 6, 17 through 18. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face. Basically, man, don't look like you're fasting, don't look like you're suffering. Let it be something that you're doing with the Lord. If people want to, additional scripture there. Additional question would be, have you ever fasted before, spiritually or dietary? Like, have you ever done that? What did you learn? What did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about God? Which is a great question there. Conversation caution could be to clarify that this is not a judgment, whether you have or haven't, and this isn't a diet conversation. Fasting isn't a diet. And so just make sure that if that's the conversation where it's landing, that you just steer it back to the point. So third question here would be, what stood out to you from this weekend's message? Just a thought here. This helps transition from maybe fun to focus. But here's what's pretty cool is what lingers from the message often reveals what God is pressing on our hearts. So if something stood out, maybe ask like, hey, where's God moving you in this? Like, what are you going to do with that? So that question could be, did anything challenge your assumptions or give you a new perspective? What are you going to do about it? Conversation caution is if people didn't hear the message, invite them to reflect on this week's theme or the passage instead. So if someone's like, oh, I wasn't able to get to church, don't be like, oh man, you are awful. But hey, here's what we're talking about. Give them an olive branch, so to speak. And just a group tip, maybe for you to jot down keywords or themes from the group's response to revisit later. Like, so for you as a leader, sometimes just making note of what's sticking out in someone's life, you can personally reach back into those things and bring them up later and be like, hey, you mentioned this when Larry's message was about fasting. I kind of want to circle back, see what your thoughts were on that. You as a leader get the privilege of doing that stuff. So make sure you take advantage of those things. Moving to our know it section. A spiritual discipline is a practice or habit that helps a person grow in their faith, such as prayer, fasting, or Bible study. This weekend, we were reminded that these practices are tools, not rules, meant to be engaged with meaningfully, not ritualistically. With this in mind, read Romans 14, 1 through 12, and Colossians 2, 16 through 17, and then 20 through 22. As you read, look for 2 to 3 ways you see God valuing relationship over ritual. So additional thought, Paul urges us not to judge each other over disputable matters, pointing to God's desire for genuine faith, not performance-based religiosity. So an additional scripture could be 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the Lord sees not as man sees, the Lord looks at the heart. And the question here could be, what spiritual habits have helped you grow closer to God and which have felt more like just checklist religion? And just a caution here would be, watch out for critiques of other churches or denominations or people, and focus on heart posture, not preference. And so a group tip could be, consider reading these verses aloud with 2 readers or 1 for each passage, and then ask what words or phrases stood out to you. So just a group tip there. But just super important is just like, hey, these are tools to help us grow in our relationship with God, not things to do. And so make sure that that's kind of the heartbeat of the conversation around this. Are these things moving you towards Jesus and your walk with Jesus and your love for Jesus and your obedience to Jesus? Not just, as Larry kind of mentioned, oh, did you feel close to Jesus? But like, man, what is changing in your life as a result of maybe this habit or practice? Second question here would be, how might these verses shape your view of your own spiritual practices? How should we treat those who do things differently, and why does it matter? Additional thought here could be, Paul reminds us that each believer answers to God, not each other. Unity doesn't require uniformity. So it's really, man, it's not, this is what works for me, so this is what has to work for you. It's, man, how can I encourage you in your walk with Jesus? Additional scripture here could be Romans 14:10. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? Like, why are we always in competition or comparing ourselves? So a question could be, how can we create a culture of grace in our group when it comes to spiritual practices and encouraging one another to practice something? So maybe it's just like, hey, I'm going to discipline myself in the sense of I'm going to pursue my relationship with Jesus personally and what that looks like for me. And if it's like, well, I'm just kind of coasting, it kind of means you're going downhill. You should be trying something, seeking ways to actually pursue Christ. So conversation caution could be avoid turning this into debate. The goal is humility, not convincing one another like, hey, this is the best one. For some people, it might be daily Bible reading. For some people, it might be, man, weekly fasting. Those things are great things, but they're not the goal. The goal is Jesus. So just a tip here could be to encourage group members to share one practice that's helped them connect with God, even if it looks different than others. So maybe it's not a traditional, oh man, this is a spiritual discipline or spiritual habit that is traditionally recognized, but it could be like, I love surfing and sitting in the ocean and just being with God, and I feel close to God when I do that. So that's not going to look the same for everyone, because if you're afraid of the ocean, that's not for you. So moving up to share it section, first one is, Larry encouraged us to try different spiritual practices and keep what works. Are there any disciplines you've tried and kept? Any that you've set aside? Any that you haven't tried but want to? So a thought here could be, trying, failing, adjusting, and discovering is all part of spiritual growth. So normalize that trial and error process. Like, it's okay that you tried something and it didn't work. And you were like, ah, that felt redundant, or that felt boring, or that felt like, I don't like that. So that's okay. That's okay. But additional scripture here to kind of support, like, we should try something, is 1 Timothy 4:7 says, train yourself for godliness. Like, we ought to be doing things that are stirring our affection for Jesus, even if it doesn't look like the person next to you. What are those things? So additional question, is there a practice that you've never tried but you want to explore? Like, maybe like, man, I've never fasted before from anything, food or maybe my phone or whatever. Like, giving a, like, to fast is actually like, man, to not eat, but like, there's things that we can give up. And so maybe just encouraging someone to explore that. So a caution here could be that some may feel guilty for inconsistent practices, and just affirm that God honors progress, not perfection. So it's like, oh man, I tried reading my Bible every day and I fail, and I'm the worst Christian ever. It's like, God, we're not in relationship with God because we read our Bibles. We're in relationship with God because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And that's true of any spiritual discipline. But all these things are meant to help strengthen our relationship with Jesus. And every relationship is unique. So second question here is, as we see in Matthew 9:16-17, embracing change requires flexibility. Has there been a time when a change upset you at first but ended up working out better than expected? So additional question could be here, what did you learn about God or yourself through that change? And then just a group dynamic tip, especially if you have a larger group, to maybe pair into some smaller groups, just to allow for honest sharing for this one. That can just be helpful, instead of like, you might have one person share, especially if you're a larger group, and like, they're going to be the only one with time to answer if you're not careful. So that's just a tip there for that one. Last section here, our live it section, looking again at Matthew 9:16-17. If the new wine is God's new work in your life, what are some old wineskins, old habits, mindsets, or rules that could hold you back? How might God be calling you to grow out of those old habits? So additional thought here could be, these might be thought patterns like legalism or self-doubt, or habits like isolation. Like, it's like, I just isolate, I don't pursue relationship. Or control, you need to control everything, or expectations, like, this is how God's supposed to work. I do X, Y, then he does Z. And maybe God's saying like, hey, that's not, you can't control me. You can't manipulate me. Additional scripture here could be, or is, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Like, what is God calling us to? Another question to kind of further the conversation could be, what's one step you could take this week to create space for God's new work in your life? Just a conversation caution that we can tend to fall into is, avoid this being like a fix yourself conversation. This is about surrender, not self-effort. This is about, man, how do I hand this off? Not what do I need to add? And just say, a group dynamic tip could be, maybe real quick, ask each person to finish this sentence. One old mindset I want to release is, and then just be like, hey, one word, and that's maybe how you want to answer this question. It could be super helpful, especially in allowing everyone the opportunity to share. Last section in our Live It is, God has wired us differently, each one of us. Psalm 139:13-16. I want to encourage you guys to read that as a group, this idea of like, man, we are each uniquely, fearfully, wonderfully made. Ask God to show you if there's someone, maybe even yourself, that you've been too hard on for not fitting into a mold Jesus never meant for us. Send them a note. If it's you, maybe thank God for making you unique in his image. Share your experience with your life group this week. So here's the thing. I want to encourage you, like, as a leader, like, man, follow back up on this question. Maybe if you're meeting on like Monday, follow back up on Friday. If you're meeting on like Thursday, man, shoot them a text Sunday morning. Like, hey, thinking about you as we head to church. Man, just a way to bring it back and allow this to continue to permeate in our lives, not just we listened to it on the weekend, and we had conversation at life group, but man, now we had conversations throughout the week as well. Additional thought here could be, this is a spiritual practice of compassion and encouragement. This is a discipline. Whether it's a note, text, or prayer, these small acts of obedience can heal relationships and help relationships and your relationship with Christ. So an additional question here could be, how might God be inviting you to see that person or yourself the way that he sees them? And just a group dynamic tip here could be to invite group members to write down the name of the person to encourage this week, and then pray over those names in closing. So you write those things down, pray over them, and then give that to them as well. Like, hey, I encourage you. Like, maybe hey, you're going to pray for the person to your right to be praying for and thinking about this person. That allows some group ownership there. So it's not just you always as the leader, like, I got this, I wrote down all the names, but you're passing that off and you're allowing your group to be praying and considering how to lift one another up in obedience and care for maybe what God's inviting them into. So guys, stoked for you this week. I hope you have great conversation. If you have any questions or need to reach out, man, you can always call the church, ask for Scott. I'd love to unpack this further with you. Man, thanks for being a part of what God's doing here at North Coast. Let me pray for us, and then I hope you guys have a great week. Lord, be with these leaders, be with these hosts. I pray that they just have delightful conversation around you, Jesus, that you would stir them up, God, this week personally, that they would maybe try a new habit, try a new discipline to enter into a deeper and maybe fun way of relating to you and the way that you've wired them, and you want to experience relationship with them, Lord, and for them with you. And so I thank you, God, that you have made us each unique and that you relate to us each differently. For those as leaders and hosts and for those in our group, I pray for great conversation and that we would be different people, more alive people in you than ever before as a result of the conversations we have with our group this week. Love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thanks, leaders. We'll see you next time.